Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Today, we are going to do a magnificent retrospective on this year that most people hate passionately, but some people, and that's the smiling gentleman I have on the other end of the microphone here, have had a pretty darn good year. So, Mark, where do we even begin with this craptaculous year of 2020?
That's actually pretty good. I like that. Well, obviously, 2020 has been, to say the least, the year that people are going to want to forget. We're now coming into the end of the year. And as we were thinking about topics for the podcast, I was thinking I was going to do my top 10 predictions for 2021, or annual predictions, which, may I remind you, in the 5, 6, 7 years, I don't even know anymore that we've been doing them, we have been correct on every single one of our predictions. So that'll come for next podcast.
Yep.
But I thought it would be a good idea, considering the way this year was in terms of, you know, the whole COVID thing and the emotions of people. Business still is conducted. Like any sort of economic situation, you have business expansion, you have business contraction, and well-run businesses will continue to adjust during periods of slowdown in preparing themselves for the next big economic expansion, which I believe 2021 is going to be a big year of economic expansion. There's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I thought it would be good to go back to some of the things that we talked about back during when COVID started. I know you and I did a couple of podcasts that we wanted to update listeners on what was happening. We wanted to update our clients on what we thought about a V-shape, W-shape, L-shape. I don't even know how many recoveries people were predicting about. And as you know, we're not in the business of predicting. We're in the business of assessing the businesses we own, assessing the economy today, but more importantly, tomorrow. And let me just interject this, Matt. As you know, smart money doesn't invest for today.
Yeah.
They invest for tomorrow. In other words, people who were piling out in March and April out of fear, and quite frankly, all the way through the summer, piling out because of fear, clearly made a mistake.
Yeah.
Because as we're talking right now, the two big indexes that I follow are the S&P, which is the US S&P 500, which as of right now, here in the middle of December, is up 14.4%. I think if you went to most people on the street, Matt, most investors said, you know, the S&P is up 14.4%. They would probably look at you, are you nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Everything is shut down.
Right.
Nothing is happening. How can the market be up 14%?
You know, hold on.
Yeah.
Ask yourself that damn question, because that is the question I think of this year in retrospect, right? We did talk about the V-shape, U-shape, W-shape, all of the alphabet shapes recovery. There were a lot of people who did run, right? Who lost a big opportunity literally to buy stocks on sale. But why is this happening? Why is it that from all logic, which is not what the market's driven off of, right? But all logic, we should be in the pooper right now instead of in the money.
Right. Let me, great question. Let me answer it after I tell you what the ACWI, which is the world index. So it's a global index that's up 12.88%. So, you know, stuff is up over 10%. And may I tell you that those numbers are higher than the average rate of return of those indexes on an annual basis. So in other words, indexes are performing better than average during this year. So why is that the case? Why aren't we in the pooper, the proverbial pooper, as you put it? Well, it's like I tell my wife, Matt, I don't even watch the news anymore.
Sure.
I can't watch the news. I can't stomach it. I'm so tired of the negativity. I'm so tired of COVID this, COVID that. And we're now almost at Christmas. everything here in Minnesota darn near is shut down. They've shut down all the restaurants. They've shut down everything around here. Things are shut down because people are having this COVID thing. And then you go and you talk to all your friends and they say, yeah, I think I had it. I got tests I didn't have. I got tested and I had it. And I don't know if I've had it. And I didn't get really any symptoms. It is such a inconsistent virus for people that the one mainstay is that if you have health issues or you're older with health issues, particularly respiratory, stay home. Mm-hmm. Don't go out. But the majority of people that go out are younger, healthy, they're getting the virus, and they're recovering. Now, not everybody. So I don't want to downplay the virus. But everybody pretty much already knows everybody is getting sick. Everybody knows how bad it is. And yet all we're focusing on is the negative.
Right.
Which leads me to my point. Investors often think negative, not positive. I had this conversation with a good friend of mine, actually the other day. He said, the one thing I like about you is you and I are very similar in this manner, and that is that we are always looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. We are always striving for the light. We are in difficult periods. We don't quit. We keep going. We grind it out because we look at everything from a positive standpoint. COVID's going to eventually end. The economy is going to eventually open. That's the mentality you have to have. That's what you've had to have during this period. Now, does it help that the government threw in a bunch of stimulus? Absolutely. Does it help that businesses adjusted? Absolutely. But here's the big thing, and this is why we prefer investing in businesses as opposed to quote unquote the stock market or indexes. And that is that when you invest in businesses, you can adjust your portfolio. Remember, we talk about investment philosophy, strategy, flexibility, and transparency. Flexibility and transparency have been so important for our process this year because flexibility is what created an ability, an opportunity for us to take advantage of buying companies on sale during COVID that are now up 100, 200, 300% since we bought them. Mm-hmm. So as we're saying this, and of course I have to say past performance is not indicative of future performance. There's no guarantees. But while these indexes are up, our client, our average growth client is up about 45%. And our, and then it goes down, like our balance is up like 35, 37%. So obviously our clients are extremely happy. And that's even after being up 30% last year. And I think next year we're going to probably see another 20% plus year. Why is it that people think we should be in the dumper? Well, there's a multitude of reasons, Matt, why things happen in markets. And the most important, let me say, is again, investors, money invests for the future, mm-hmm. not today. There's probably not many people that think that COVID is not going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to go away. Who knows? People think this, people think that. And you're in a wishy-washy yin-yang deal, listening to the news, listening to your friends, listening to the media. People have had a tough year. We don't want to downplay the year, but even in a down year, it's like I often tell our clients, you don't pay us to be emotional. You pay us to stick to a process.
Well, so we've done some wonderful podcasts on the behavioral issues that happen with the independent investors. We've also talked about, and I want to just highlight something you said there, because money invests in the future, not today. Most people are investing for today, what's Correct. Happening today. And Correct. When you do, and you've said this, we said this early in the year, the market's already priced this in, right? I mean, I'm quoting you exactly. It's exactly, the market's already priced this in. And regardless of the outcome of this, which we know it will subside at some point, but we also know the markets are so forward thinking that they are going to price this stuff in. That's why the markets are doing what they're doing. But is it too late for people to take advantage of some of this stuff now, just across the board? I mean, obviously some people missed
big opportunity. Yeah. Well, it's a really good question. I had this conversation actually with a friend of mine this morning who likes to invest and does his own investing. And I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again for the listeners in the podcast. It's time in an investment, not timing an investment. And as I sit here and we're doing this podcast, I'll tell you, we have owned a stock since 2006 called Baidu. Mm-hmm. Baidu is considered to be the Chinese Google, a large cap, considered blue chip name out of China, right? That stock at the beginning of the year was around, I want to say $135 a share.
Okay.
Well, during COVID and everything else, it went down into the low 90s and then bounced around between 90 and 100, went up to 120, came back down, 110, then it went up to 130, came back. This thing all year is going yin, yang, yin, yang, yin, yang, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, right? So on November 25th, that stock was at 140. It was up a little bit, pretty close to the high for the year. This morning, that stock hit 200. In basically 3 weeks, the stock hit 200. This happens a lot. And this is why you have to have a buy discipline and a sell discipline. You can't be afraid to take profit off the table, right? So let me give you another example. Appian, APPN software company, was trading in the 60s, kind of weaseled its way up into the 80s. And then that correction that happened in October, you know, when the S&P went down 7 or 8%, the stock went down in the low 60s, right? Shortly thereafter, I believe it was early November, I don't get my days wrong, don't lock me on my days exactly, but long story longer, the stock had their earnings and the stock went up 30% and closed at around $93, $94 a share. That stock didn't stop going up for the next 3 weeks until it hit about 210. Now trading at 150.
Let's talk about the buy-sell discipline, because I think that's where you're going with this. I'm trying to rein you back just a smidge here. Yep. So you guys aren't afraid to take profits, which give you opportunities to buy other stocks on sale. That's part of the Invest with Clarity process, correct?
You have to. You have to stick to buy discipline, sell discipline. You have a target that you want to own of a particular business that's in your portfolio, and you also have a conviction level. What's the amount of conviction that you have to buy this stock? And the higher the conviction, obviously, the higher the percentage that you want to own while still managing your risk, right? What I'm trying to say is about these stocks that went parabolic is that a lot of that happened coming out of March. Clearly, when you have an economic shift longer term, people are going to look at investments differently than before COVID. They're going to look at more online things. Or, you know, Zoom is the classic example of the whole, you know, stay at home thing. And investors don't know what they own, Matt. They don't know why they own it. And they don't have the clarity and the flexibility to take advantage of opportunities. What you end up having is investors becoming emotional. But I've said this 1,000 times, and let me say it again. Investors make the most money during bear markets. They just don't realize it at the time. Mm-hmm. And when I started talking about my buddy who's an investor, and he said, and to circle back to your question, is now the time. He's like, I know you like Baidu, and you know he can read our 13D filings and see what we own, Baidu and Citigroup and all these names. And he's like, what do you think? I mean, do you think these are good buys now? And I'm like, you know, I don't give investment advice when stocks are up 30 or 40% because it's a no-win situation.
Nope.
Right? It's a no-win. I can say I love the company. Mm-hmm. You may want to consider legging into a particular company over time. Mm-hmm. But let me state again, it is time in an investment, not timing an investment. Now, look, there's no guarantees when you make an investment, and that's why you have a buy discipline and sell discipline, and that's why you got to do all your homework. However, The interesting thing about Baidu is it has been a crummy stock for like 5 years, six years. It's been a horrible stock, but I've held on to it. And
pause. Why?
The long-term fundamentals hadn't changed.
Okay, good. Okay.
What you have happened in markets during different periods is rotation. Look, there's so many things that go on short-term within markets and stocks that people don't understand. But sector rotation is a big thing. Valuation rotation, growth stocks versus value stocks, international versus US. There's a lot of things that happen that hurt or affect stocks short-term, right? And it gets back to my adage, time in the stock, not timing the stock, right? So I told you that, you know, Baidu has been just not a great investment for quite a while. I mean, 5 years ago, in January 2016, the stock was at $186. So it's flat over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Dead money. But you know what? There's a long period in there where the stock got a lot lower and we bought more on sale. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I didn't tell you. We started buying this stock in 2006 at about $12 a share. So we've owned this thing for 14 years. We've taken profit at times. We've bought on sale at times, keeping our core target position. And now we're sitting at it for flat for the last 5 years, but the fundamentals are improving.
Mm-hmm.
This happens with a lot of companies. This happens with a lot of stocks. The greatest story we've said on that has been Apple, that went from zero to 100 back down to almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
Now to be one of the largest companies. I go on tangents. Let's come back to the core. Is it time to buy? As Jim Cramer says, and I'm a full believer in this statement, there's always a bull market somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are always stocks to buy. This is why I am also not a fan of indexing. I'm not a fan of static asset allocating. I'm not a fan of putting money in a bunch of ETFs and mutual funds in small cap, mid cap, large cap, growth, value, whatever the case may be. We own on average 30 companies in our portfolio. Some are very conservative. Some are very aggressive. Some are owned as hedges. Some are owned for dividends. Some are owned for growth.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always buying something in the portfolio and portfolios because there's always something on sale. The minute you get myopic on one stock, is the minute you've lost.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the flexibility, because I really do think that one of the things that truly separates your investment management system than other people out there is your flexibility. And I remember early on in our relationship, you were talking about buying things, and I challenged you and I said, so are you sitting on cash? And you said, I don't need to sit on cash because there's always something that I can pull from to, you know, basically not rob Peter to pay Paul, but there's always something I can take a profit from, right? How do you make non-emotional flexibility decisions?
Yeah, great question. Well, you have a target allocation, right? So you have a target percentage of a company that you want to own in your portfolio, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, whatever that target percentage is, right? And based on the overall value of the portfolio, based on the ebbs and flows of an individual stock price, there's always places where we can go and sell profit, right? Raise cash to go buy something else on sale. There are always stronger positions than weaker positions. In other words, companies that we have greater conviction over than others. And the flexibility component allows you to look at every company you have in the portfolio and know why you own it. And I've said this before, you've heard me say this before, and I tell clients and advisors this, every position is owned in the portfolio for a very specific reason. No one position should make or break the long-term performance of your portfolio. Doesn't mean they won't make your long-term performance, but the percentage you own should never break the long-term performance. In other words, the downside, right? I always hate when people say, don't own individual stocks. They're too risky. What? All you got is stocks and your ETFs and mutual funds. I mean, it's the dumbest thing that people are told, that don't hold, reduce single stock risk.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean,
I don't understand that.
I don't either. But that's what Wall Street tells investors. So they go buy these ETFs. They don't know what they own. And it's kind of like the you know, the Oz behind the green curtain. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on behind the green curtain. But when you have clarity, when you invest with clarity, when you can look inside the portfolio and you can see every company you own in that portfolio and why, you can see what companies are affecting the portfolio returns in a good way, what are affected in a bad way, right? And you can monitor and adjust accordingly. Let me give you a great example. I have a huge problem this year.
Uh-oh.
Huge problem. We have a huge problem. I told my advisors this in the last Friday call. I said, our clients are up in the last 2 years substantially. In 2020, the biggest problem I have is we have a significant short-term gain.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, short-term gains are taxed at ordinary income tax, right? I don't have anything to sell to offset them. Our clients are going to have 15 to 20% in gains this year relative to their portfolio value. So in other words, if your portfolio is worth $100,000, $20,000 of that's going to be in gains, and about 85% of that's going to be short-term. And I have nothing to offset those gains. So we're going to go into a year where clients are going to have taxable gains. That said, that's why they're up 45%.
Aren't they happy about that, dude?
Of course. But people still complain about paying taxes.
Well,
you're never going to get rid of that. And I certainly understand that. And look, we're going to have good years and we're going to have bad years. But my point is that when you have that flexibility, you can always find opportunities to invest in as you build your portfolio. Let me make one last real great important point here, and I'll let you ask the next question. One of the things that we tell our advisors and tell our new clients that I think is extremely important for them to know is that when money comes in, we don't buy all the stocks in the portfolio right now. We put the money to work in the companies that we want to own when we think we should be buying those companies to own.
Gotcha.
Relative to what's going on in the economy. So you literally could have 50% of your money sitting in cash for 12 months. Mm-hmm. Now, some investors say that's smart because you're putting the money to work when you should be putting it to work. And I often use this phrase with our clients. You don't pay us to own cash. You pay us to know when to own cash.
Absolutely.
You want to put yourself in a position based on your buy discipline and your sell discipline to build your asset allocation over time. Nothing in investing should be cookie cutter in nature.
So we're going to do predictions next time. And so that's always a fun podcast. I love hearing your predictions. Looking back on 2020.
Yes.
What is the one thing that when you put your gigantic head on your gigantic pillow every night, what is the one thing that you're like, you know what, dude, we really did it this year. What was that?
It's easy. I wish you could have a 30 to 35% downside move as quickly as we did and then rebound as quickly as it did every year.
Wow.
Every year. Because I equate that to the after Christmas sale.
Yeah.
Everything is expensive up until Christmas because everyone's buying. And then the day after Christmas, everything goes on sale, right? The ultimate time to buy great businesses is when they're on sale. And when I put my head down at night and I look at, you know, we did it this year, what is the biggest thing we did? And it's really simple. We did not get emotional in the downside. We didn't panic. We didn't get fearful. We didn't worry. The one thing everybody knew about COVID going in was it was eventually going to end. If you're a long-term investor, you're buying companies to own for the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years, it would stand to reason that when you have this pullback during a period where the economy was doing some of the best it was doing in history before this happened, you have to feel giddy about buying stuff that goes down 30, 40, 50, 60, 70%. I mean, Discover Card, Matt, went from 96 to 21. You know where it's at today? 85.
Wow.
It's almost back to where it was. When you see some in Discover Card, good company, dividend paying stock. I mean, it's not like this is a fly by night, quote unquote, risky stock.
Right.
Buy discipline, sell discipline. And most importantly, do not allow your emotions to make your decisions. As we've trademarked, process before progress. And when I lay down at night, I feel like what our clients ultimately pay us to do is to not be emotional and stick to the process. And that's exactly what we did.
So I want everybody who's listening to this to think about that, right? So when you lay down on your super comfy pillow every night and you're closing your eyes and you're thinking about your long-term investment, do you feel that way? Do you feel like you have clarity? Do you feel like you truly understand what you own and why you own it? Do you know that your money manager, and here's the fun part about this, you can go back and listen to the podcasts Mark and I did right before COVID, during the downturn, and right after, and everything is consistent. You're going to hear a consistent message over that time. There was no panic. In fact, it was really funny because as I was preparing for our podcast today, I went back and listened to one of the ones that we did when really everything hit the fan, right? You were so excited. You were like, oh my God, look at all this great stuff on sale. And, you know, I want the listeners to think about that. Is that how we know that that's how we believe you should look at the market? Because Mark has talked about what markets are and how they work, right? But if you don't feel that that's the relationship that you have with the person who's helping you retire or even live in retirement or just invest your money, then I think you seriously need to go ahead and reach out. Mark, what's the best way for them to contact you?
They can contact us at investwithclarity.com. Click on the link and we'd be happy to help you out.
All right, Mark, we're going to do our, we're going to get all philosophical and projectile next time for your projections. I know I totally use that word.
Predictions.
Your predictions. So we'll cover that next time. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up today?
No. Have a great holiday season and prepare for a giddy-licious 2021, where we know for a fact there will be great opportunities to take advantage of volatility and buy great businesses on sale.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And please, for everybody at Nepsis, have a happy holiday season and make sure that you're investing with clarity. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.